medicinal plant or a specialty crop, but I'm going to be talking about production practices. I'm going to be talking about the plant adaptation, how plants adapt to water stress, and then how we can use that practical application for phytochemical production. So it's, I'm going to be talking about also vegetable crops. Phytochemicals include carotenoids, flavonoids, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit about also essential oils from medicinal plants. So first of all, phytochemicals, they are bioactive compounds produced in plants. And they produce these chemical compounds mainly for defense purposes against pathogens or insects, and also against environmental stress. And these chemical compounds, we know that they have a high health benefits, antioxidant activity, and DNA repair, and so they have a health benefit against cancer or cardiovascular diseases. We have identified more than 10,000 different phytochemicals, but there are, there are so many that we don't know yet. Major phytochemical classes include carotenoids and phenolic acid, ascorbic acid, flavonoids, and essential oils in medicinal plants are also considered phytochemicals. So what affects phytochemical production in plants? Genetics is one of the major factors that affecting the phytochemical production, crop types or cultivars. You can see on the figure here, this shows the amount of ascorbic acid on the left-hand side and then flavonoids on the right-hand side. And these are the phytochemical content in different types of peppers. So, you know, they are all peppers, but, you know, just among different species, you can see a huge variation. So genetics play a major role. And it also depends on maturity or growth stages. Environments also affect phytochemical production, light intensity or quality, and the photoperiod, temperature, or drought. And that's because the enzymes that produce phytochemicals, the activity depends on environmental condition, temperature or light. And the production practices can also affect phytochemical production, fertilization, irrigation, pruning or thinning, and pesticides, you know, other chemical application. So today I'm going to be talking about the impact of drought on phytochemical production and using a special type of irrigation practice to enhance the production of phytochemicals. So just I'd like to go over quickly, like what happens within a plant when they are exposed to water stress. So there are, you know, there are a lot of responses going on at molecular level, or plant physiological level, or plant growth. At the molecular level, there are a lot of genes expressed by water stress. One of them is aquaporin, and it increases compatible solute concentration to tolerate water stress. It can induce the production of different plant hormones. Abscisic acid and ethylene are the major ones known to increase in response to water stress. In plant physiology, in terms of plant physiology, stomatal closure is one of the major responses under water stress. Stomata are the little pores on the leaf surface that plants uptake CO2, but they release water vapor from that pore. So when plants are under water stress, they tend to close the opening so they don't lose water. But doing that can also inhibit the uptake of CO2. So it's a defense mechanism, but it can also reduce important photosynthesis activity. So, you know, so there's also, you know, pro and cons. And water stress can induce leaf senescence. It's an aging process. Plants tend to, you know, get rid of older leaves in order to survive and in order to maintain nutrition for younger growth. And so all these responses at molecular level, physiological levels, affect the plant growth. Leaf expansion will be inhibited under water stress. Stem elongation will be also inhibited, and then the branching will be reduced. But the plants can still enhance root elongation. So under water stress, they tend to inhibit above ground growth, shoot growth, but they want to use more resource energy to enhance root elongation, so they have more access to water and they can uptake more water. So there are a lot of, you know, different responses going on. But overall, growth suppression, plants tend to reduce the growth when they are under water stress. They don't want to, you know, continue the normal growth, but they want to suppress the growth until the condition becomes more optimal. And in so when the plants are under water stress, this is kind of a brief pathway how water stress can induce the accumulation of antioxidant compounds. When plants are under water stress, that induces stomatal closure. And when the stomata close, again, that's the port for plants to uptake CO2. So when the stomata close, CO2 uptake will be reduced. And that will reduce the consumption of reduction agents and for CO2 fixation in the Calvin cycle. And that will induce oxidative stress and increase of reduction agents. And that's what's finally inducing the production of antioxidants. So that means, you know, water stress can increase the production of antioxidants. So we can, you know, if we apply the right amount of stress to the plants, we can, you know, increase the production of antioxidants if we are growing the plants for that purpose, not for, you know, fresh consumption. And this figure shows the effect of water stress on plant biomass versus phytochemicals. The green line shows the plant growth response to water stress, and here on the x-axis, it shows the water stress in scale from 0 to 10, and this is the production of biomass in percentage. So if we increase water stress, our plants reduce the growth, and then the biomass production go down. But if it's phytochemical, it depends on the water stress. When the water stress is mild or moderate, the phytochemical production tends to go up as a defense mechanism. But if the water stress becomes really severe, phytochemical production is going to be also inhibited, so it starts to go down. So here is the breaking point. That, you know, plant biomass accumulation is inhibited, but this is when phytochemical production is still 100%. And so as long as water stress is not as severe as this point, from 0 to 5, it depends on the crop, but this is the stress that we want to apply. As long as stress is not severe enough, mild enough in this range, then we might lose some biomass production, but we can increase our phytochemical production. But if the stress becomes too severe, so in this area, that we lose both plant production and also our phytochemical production. So to apply the right amount of stress, there is an irrigation practice called deficit irrigation. And this is the irrigation practice that we apply less amount of water than the optimal amount. But we have to be very careful. Again, if we reduce the amount of irrigation water too much, then plants will be exposed to too severe stress that it will affect not only plant growth, but also phytochemical production. So deficit irrigation, the amount of water we apply is based on ET. ET stands for evapotranspiration. So that's the water of evaporation from the soil and transpiration from the plant. So if we combine them, then that's going to be the amount of water that the field is using. And we try to estimate how much water plants are using this equation. ET crop equals ET reference multiplied by KC. And ET reference, we can estimate this ET based on the weather data. There is an equation to estimate. And then a KC, this depends on the crop. we use different Kc value for each crop and for each growth stage, so we can estimate the amount of water as precisely as we can. So for example, if we use 0.5 for Kc, that means that crop is using 50% of water used by reference crop, and reference crop is always grass grown under optimal condition. And the deficit irrigation strategy, we normally do not initiate deficit irrigation during the establishment, because that's when plants are more sensitive to water stress. So we wait until plants are fully established. Then we initiate deficit irrigation, because that time plants be mature enough that they can tolerate some level of water stress. And we can use deficit irrigation on different crops, but you have to know different crops have different sensitivity to water stress. So this is a study showing the response of yield to different levels of deficit irrigation. So on the left, we have 100% ET. So this is the optimal irrigation rate based on ET. We are just applying only the amount of water plants used or evaporated from the soil. And 70% ET, so we are cutting down amount of water by 25%. And then 50 ET, this is, we are cutting down amount of water by half. So, we can consider this is kind of severe water stress. This is more mild water stress. And here is the yield loss from each crop. So this is artichoke. By cutting down the amount of water by 25%, we lost about 7 to 12% of yield. In case of onion, we lost about 8 to 13%. But broccoli, we lost about 23 to 38%. So the yield loss was a lot more compared to other crops. And then the cabbage, yield loss was 11 to 20%. So yield reduction by this deficit irrigation practice depends on crop, and it depends on the sensitivity of the crop to water stress. Some crops, they can tolerate water stress better than others. In case of artichoke, the loss in artichoke and onion, yield reduction was not that much. In this case, actually, if you water use efficiency is the measurement how efficiently plants are using water. So this is we can calculate water use efficiency by dividing yield by the amount of water. So artichoke and onion, and also cabbage too, if we reduce the amount of water by 25%, actually we can improve the efficiency of irrigation water. And this is the now data of onion and spinach, showing both yield and the phytochemical production. So this is onion, the data on the left-hand side. The bar graph shows the yield. And you can see by reducing the irrigation rate from 100 to 75, 50%, the yield was significantly reduced. And on the right-hand side of the same figure, we have phytochemical production. In this case, we measured the amount of quercetin, one of the flavonoids. And the flavonoid concentration increased by 15% by applying more water stress. For spinach, the yield decreased by using deficit irrigation practice. You can see yield decreased a lot more than onion. So you can see spinach is more sensitive to water stress. But ascorbic acid production increased by, or ascorbic acid concentration in the leaf increased by 23% when we use deficit irrigation practice. When we apply deficit irrigation practice, we also like to choose the ideal irrigation system, because different irrigation system, even when you apply the same amount of water, it can apply different magnitude of stress. So for example, this data is showing the phytochemical production in spinach. So we have here ascorbic acid, and then we have carotenoids, different carotenoids. This is beta carotene, and Bioredantin, neodantin, lutein, and this is on the right hand side, this is the total amount of carotenoid. And you can see by applying deficit irrigation from 100% ET to 50%, this is the top portion is center pivot irrigation. And each phytochemical increase by applying water stress or by applying deficit irrigation. And here in the bottom half, this is the same set of data, but using subsurface drip irrigation. So this is the drip irrigation practice. So the water is not applied over here, but it's applied through the drip tape in the soil. And we can see different responses. The amount of phytochemicals increase for some chemicals, but not all of them. The magnitude of increase was not as much for center pivot. But if you look at the yield data, this is the yield of spinach under center pivot. You can see yield was reduced by more than half. And the water use efficiency also declined by applying deficit irrigation practice. But under drip irrigation practice, the yield reduction was not as much as when we compared center pivot irrigation practice. So we have to know both, impact on plant production and the impact on phytochemical production, because these data are in concentration. So although water stress most of the time can improve the concentration of phytochemicals, if you are talking about production of phytochemicals, if you want to grow spinach for, producing carotenoids, like we are, growing peppers to produce carotenoids, not for human consumption, then you want to know not just concentration, but, how much you are getting from the field, the production, the yield. So, we have to, it's good to see that increase in concentration, but we want to minimize the loss in the yield so we can gain the production of the phytochemical itself. And this is the data of different medicinal plants response to water stress. So this is actually the table that from one of the manuscripts I'm writing right now. So I tried to check all previous publications about water stress impact on medicinal plants, how water stress is affecting the biomass of the plants, and then also the production of essential oil. So here we have different species. This includes like a basil, oregano, and thyme, and different medicinal plants. And then this is the part of tissue analyzed. And then here, this is the response of biomass to water stress. And then in the middle, this is the response of essential oil concentration in percentage to water stress. And on right-hand side, this is the essential oil yield. So this is the, the weight, the production of essential oil in response to water stress. And here's the table which summarizes all the data in this big table. So you can see biomass, none of the plants increase in response to water stress. And that's, what we expect, that, they are not supposed to increase the biomass under water stress. And 22 species out of about 35 decrease the biomass. And the 5 of them, the data were variable, some slight increase, some slight decrease, but. And then the one species data were non-significant, and then 3 of them data were not available. If you look at essential oil concentration, 13 species out of 35, they increase that, it increased. And then the 5 of them decrease the essential oil concentration. If you look at the essential oil yield, this is the production. Now you can see, it's less than essential oil concentration. Only 11 out of 13 actually increase the amount of production. But this is not bad. Many medicinal plants, they are drought tolerant. They can increase they can tolerate water stress. And even when plant growth is reduced, they still, increase the production of phytochemicals. And then not only the concentration, but actual amount can be also increased by water stress. And in this study, they apply different levels of stress. So some studies apply mild stress, some studies compare different levels of stress. But, you know, 11 out of 35, this is still good. If I limit to only mild stress in this table, this number will go up a lot more. And so this is just a table showing that, you know, the water stress can be applied, especially for medicinal plants, which are, you know, more stress tolerant than the vegetable crop for the purpose of increasing the phytochemical production. And, you know, it's not only applying the mild stress, but sometimes we want to reduce the stress. So I show you this table, the figure earlier. So if you are applying stress, we want to make sure that the stress is in this range, in this gray area. But if that's, you know, if you cannot control the stress, if the plants are grown in a water limited area or, you know, arid region, sometimes we don't have enough water. And then in that case, instead of applying stress, we want to minimize the stress. So we can, for example, bring the phytochemical production in this area back to, you know, at this level. So for this purpose, you know, if you want to reduce the stress, then we have to develop different strategy. And I talked about plant hormone and stomata closure. So the stomata closure is induced by plant hormone called ABA or abscisic acid. And these two pictures show the leaf surface without ABA and the leaf surface with ABA. And you can see these little pores are the stomata, and you can see they are closed because of the abscisic acid. And again, when the stomata close, they can maintain more water in the tissue. So if you apply abscisic acid to the plants, if you know that the plants will be exposed to water stress, you can minimize the water stress. So this is the study applying different concentrations of ABA, and we apply ABA before plants are exposed to stress. And you can see nice dose response to ABA. When plants are applied with higher concentration of ABA, you can see the water stress was, you know, a lot less compared to lower concentration of ABA. So let me see. And then maybe I'm going to show one more management practice. So it's not only chemical approach, but we can also reduce water stress by changing the management practices. So one of the practices that we are studying now is new design of plastic mulch. So this is a new plastic mulch we designed for strawberry. So in Florida, strawberry grows from September until March. And September is, you know, it's very hot. And then about during the peak production of fruit, which is between January and March, the weather is much, much cooler. So growers tend, you know, they used to use black plastic mulch because they like to warm the soil during the peak fruit production. But the plants actually suffer from heat stress during the establishment. So, we wanted to take advantage of both a white mulch and the black mulch. White mulch can reduce the, you know, the temperature in the soil and also around the canopy. So we combine the two colors. So this plastic mulch has a white color on the top, but black on the shoulder. And then this is the thermographic image that you can see the bed top, you know, using this white stripe on the top is much cooler. And then also we have light reflection. You know, the black color can absorb light, but the white reflect light. So using this plastic mulch, we can reduce the temperature when the plants are small. We can also get light reflection of the plastic mulch, which can be beneficial for plants for photosynthesis, but also for phytochemical production too. Okay, so the summary of my talk is that, you know, when you use management practice or deficit irrigation practice to increase phytochemical production, first you have to know the stress sensitivity of the crop. And then we have to apply the optimum level of stress to increase the phytochemical production. You know, in the figure, you know, it was showing if the stress is too severe, it's going to inhibit not only plant growth, but the phytochemical production. So we have to know the right level of stress for that crop that you are growing. And you have to know, you know, the phytochemical concentration and amount produced are affected by water stress. If you want to increase the yield of phytochemicals, you know, we cannot just look at concentration, but we have to look at the actual amount. And we have to select different stress management practices depending on many factors, stress type, stress stability, and then, you know, crop stress sensitivity. And then for some crop, deficit irrigation is really an effective strategy, mainly for weeding medicinal plants.
Okay. Let's move this slide to have a little bit of discussion because the remainder of this workshop and talks, and then we would have our